Chapter 10. My women's dresses arrived the next morning, and as soon as the courier left, the enormous boxes were snatched away from my hands. Daisy held the packages tightly to her chest, smiled happily, and then turned toward her sisters.
Let's go upstairs. I want each of you to try them on with your masks and accessories. Then I can figure out what type of makeup I'll need to buy at the mercantile.
Hey now, I paid for those. Aren't you going to let me see?
You'll see them. On the day of the ball. I want all of this to be a surprise for you, Charles. So stay down here, and we're going to try all of these on.
Fine. I'll wait. I don't mind. The masquerade was only 2 days away, and we didn't have much left to prepare for. We determined that Ryan would be the one to serve the truth serum to the scientist since she was the newest, and although she didn't have much experience, she was the most serious of the two. I trusted Valerie to do it, but the feline woman was always getting into some type of trouble. Not that we minded, but we couldn't have any slip-ups during this mission. We planned to give the serum to the scientist about midway through the party. He'd have enough drinks in him not to question another, and if everyone were distracted, I would have time to whisk him away, question him thoroughly, and then bring him back in with no one the wiser. It wasn't a very intricate plan, but it was the best we could do. We figured that we couldn't thoroughly plan for something when there was an unpredictable party happening since we never knew what could happen or what the other people attending would do. So we thrashed out the idea of what we wanted to happen and went with that. We would enter into the party, socialize for a bit, introduce Valerie and Ryan to Josephine, which they were very excited about, and I knew for a fact that the feline woman would want to dance with her. Then finally, I would grab a drink for the scientist, pour the truth serum into it, and have Ryan serve it to him. Hopefully, Lucien wouldn't question the drink, guzzle it down, and within minutes be spilling his guts to me in some back corner of Josephine's manor. I was anxious, but for the first time in my life, I wasn't afraid. Over the past few months, I'd done some pretty fantastic, dangerous, and unbelievable things, and I had to admit, it had changed me. I wasn't the same man anymore. Right now, in this world, I had even the smallest amount of power, and it made me feel good. I'd killed people, yes, but I'd never seen it as killing when I was placing them within my machine's compartments. I wasn't talking about the patients I'd used in the experiments. I'd murdered Delphine, Hortensia, the first prisoner, and Milton, and their blood stained my hands. And I hated to think it, but I liked having that control. I was a man who came from absolutely nothing, born a brute, raised one, and I could consider myself one still, even if I was an esteemed scientist and doctor. No matter the changes I made or the steps I took to better myself in the aristocrat's eyes, I was just a disgusting maggot crawling through the dirt at their feet. Even if they saw me that way, things had changed. I had more power than them. I decided who lived or died. And from my past experiences, I could weasel my way out of being caught each and every time. No one could stop me, not with my monster women at my side. And Edeny was about to learn that. She may have wanted me dead and had tried several times to kill me, but I had gotten the upper hand every time. It was almost like I was unstoppable, untouchable, and completely invincible. Yes, there'd been a few close calls here and there, but I'd slipped past them like a slick snake in the garden. I felt as if I could trick and connive my way through everything right now. I was strong, powerful, and held the power of life and death in my palms. I almost felt like a god with my beautiful creations by my side. The next couple of days passed quickly. My women and I spent most of our time around the house or in the laboratory, and of course they asked me when we'd get a new sister. I didn't have an answer for them. We'd just created Ryan and killed Hortensia. We needed to lay low for a little while longer, but I assured them that it would happen eventually. Valerie was disappointed, as always, pouted for a few hours, but finally came around to the idea. Daisy was astute and calculating, saying that we should wait until the shock of Hortensia's death had passed, and Ryan agreed. I awoke on the morning of the masquerade refreshed, sat up in bed, glanced around at my sleeping women, climbed out of bed, padded over to the dresser, and pulled my clothes out for the day. The party wasn't until later in the evening, but I knew from my past experience with other aristocrats, it would take my women almost all day to get ready. Not only that, but there were three of them, so there were three dresses to get into, three sets of masks and accessories, and then came their hair and makeup. I was almost glad that I was a man, and all I had to do was get into my suit, play around with my messy black hair for a little bit, put on my shoes, and leave.
Good morning!
Valerie cried, threw off the covers, and leapt out of bed.
Today's the day! Oh, I'm so excited! I can't wait for you to see us in our costumes, Charles. They're so pretty!
Shh! Oh, it's too early.
It's already 9:30! It's time to get up! Put the curlers in the fireplace, put our dresses out, get into our corsets, everything! Oh, Charles, it took everything within me to stop myself from wearing my costume to bed last night! I was just so excited! I couldn't help it!
You did sneak away 5 times yesterday to put it on and stare at yourself in the mirror. I can understand being excited, but 5 times? We already know what it looks like on you. Well, why do you have to look so many times?
I love it so much, that's why! The color is so pretty, the embroidery is exquisite, but not only that, it fits like a glove! I want to wear it every single day! I even want to be buried in it!
Do you like it that much? Huh. I mean, we could buy you more dresses. You don't have to wear that same leotard every day if you don't want to.
No, I like my everyday outfit because you made it for me.
The gorgeous ash blonde shook her head.
I only like the dress so much because it's a special occasion. An occasion where I get to meet Josephine for the first time. And I can't wait! I'm going to talk to her all night. No one can stop me.
Well, you do know that Miss Josephine is the host of the party. That means she has to be gracious to her guests and talk to them, too.
That's fine, as long as I'm glued to her side the entire time.
Do you think that'll upset Miss Josephine? Or annoy her? I may love you, Valerie, but having someone pester you like that would get tiring.
I may not have known Miss Josephine for long, but she once told me that she feels lost at parties. She feels as if she doesn't belong with the other aristocrats. So I'm sure her meeting and befriending Valerie would make her very happy.
And me too. I'm going to stay with Miss Josephine. She sounds like such a lovely person. I wish under different circumstances we could be close friends. But since we're monster women, this will likely be the only time we're allowed to speak with her.
Yeah. That makes me really sad. I wish that Ryan and I could be like Daisy. We can't hide our horns, ears, or tails.
Hey, no. Just because I look the way I do doesn't mean that you two are any less. You should be thankful that you don't have to go out in public. I love being with Charles outside of the house, but that also means that I have to deal with the aristocrats. It's so hard to have to hear them speak about men the way they do. And the worst part is, I am expected to agree with them. I play along, pretend I think the same way as them, but all the while I have a rageful fire burning in my belly. I know I'm the chosen delegate for the family because my ears and tail are easily hidden, but you two don't have to see what I do. Yes, when we have visitors you hear it from wherever you're hiding, but it's different when it's said directly to your face.
It doesn't matter who has to go into public and who doesn't, I urged. All of you are perfect in my eyes. Yes, your ears, tail, and horns may not be concealable in public, but that doesn't make you any less than Daisy. We found Miss Josephine entirely by accident. It isn't as if we've been keeping her away from all of you. In fact, I'd love for you to both meet and get to know her. But if you're going to keep hating on yourself, I won't have it. Each of you, Valerie, Daisy, and Ryan, are beautiful in my eyes. You are absolute perfection, dreams made into reality, and I adore you more than you will ever know. I only wish that you could see you the way I do. I love you from the hairs on the top of your head to the tips of your toes. It doesn't matter if I can't dress you up and take you into town. If I'm being completely honest, I wouldn't want to take any of you down there. I only took Daisy because she's my chosen mistress. If it were up to me, none of you would go into town and hear the disgusting rhetoric that the aristocrats spew everywhere.
You are such a good man, Charles Rayburn.
We love you so much. You want nothing more than to protect us, even if it's from the horrible aristocrats.
I know this is our first party together, but all of you have to treat me differently than you do. You can't act like you do when we're at home. You've seen and heard how Daisy treats me in front of other aristocrats. I need you to treat me that way.
I don't think I can do that. I love you so much, Charles, and I don't want to hurt your feelings.
It won't hurt my feelings, my love. I'm used to this at this point. I've heard it for so long that their words don't bother me anymore. Sometimes I have to wonder if the consorts, servants, and workers are bothered by their rhetoric anymore. We've heard it every day since we were born into this world. It's almost as if we're used to it by now.
I'm sure it would hurt me if I had to hear that females were terrible every day. Not only that, but to be talked down to and treated like slaves just because you're a certain gender? So horrible. I'm sure that they don't pay their workers very well. Practically nothing to what their female counterparts bring in just because they're aristocrats. It sounds like a horrible life. Why can't we all be equal? I want nothing more than for men to be treated better than they are now.
Me too. They didn't do anything to deserve to be treated this way. I know it's because women developed powers over time, but so what? They could have used those strengths for good, not evil. They've basically taken an entire sex and turned them into pack mules. It disgusts me.
I only wish that one day I can stand shoulder to shoulder with my mate, exchange vows, and be his wife and mother of his spawn. Those are the only things in this world that I want. But not only that, I want it for other men, too. All of these women are so angry all the time. The only memories I received from Hortensia are veiled in a scarlet haze of red. She was so angry, and it made no sense. She had money, prestige, a career, and yet she was filled with insatiable anger that nobody could extinguish. I have to wonder, what made her that way? Was it the possession of such power? But when I look at my sisters, and I see the way that they react to the world around them, I know that can't be true. Both Valerie and Daisy hold substantial power at their fingertips, but they're nothing like Hortensia or Edeny. They're happy with their lives. And I have to wonder, does it have anything to do with you, Charles?
I've thought the same thing. Delphine was never happy. She hated everything and everyone around her. It was like an unstoppable, towering wave of hatred, and it only grew larger and larger within her until the day we killed her. There was no way that she would get past it, no way she could overcome it. And if she'd continued to live, it would have gotten worse. You think she would have enjoyed a little bit of her time with her consorts, but the only time she truly felt pleasure was when she was hurting them. And then that flash of happiness would disappear in a second.
That's horrible! I don't understand how they can do such horrendous things to each other and the men they employ. It disgusts me.
Hey now, this is supposed to be a happy and exciting day. No more long faces, okay? We may be going to a party where there will be aristocrats, but I want you to forget about them for a little while, understand? This is about all of us and Miss Josephine. Just a few minutes ago, you were bursting with excitement to meet her. What happened to that? I know you're upset about the state of the world, but let's enjoy this night together. Valerie and Ryan get to dress up and go out for the first time in the eyes of society. It's a cause for celebration. No more muddling over the things that we can't change right now. Yes, I'd love to change the world, but we have to take it one step at a time.
You're right, Charles. This is our night, and I'm not going to let some horrible aristocrats ruin it. All right, Daisy, Ryan, let's get started. I'm ready to get primped and powdered.
I'll leave the three of you to it. I'll make myself some breakfast and maybe trundle around the laboratory for a little while. Later in the afternoon, I'll hitch up our wagon, get dressed, and then all of us will leave. Sound good to everyone?
Yes, Charles. It may take a while, but we'll be ready to leave in a few hours.
It's all right. I expected as much. Take as much time as you need. I can wait for you downstairs. I tucked my shirt into my trousers, placed my suspenders over my shoulders, smiled at my women, and then hurried out of the room. Right before I closed the door, all three of my monster women grinned and waved excitedly. I sighed softly under my breath, rolled my shoulders, and then hopped down the steps. It was going to be a long day waiting on them, but I didn't mind. I had a few things in the laboratory I needed to tidy up before I got myself ready. As I headed toward the kitchen to fix myself something to eat, I heard their voices from upstairs behind the closed door. Despite the gloomy conversation we had, they sounded happy, and they laughed loudly together. I could pick out each woman by the sound of her laugh. Valerie's was hiccuping and loud. Ryan's echoed as the imp woman threw back her head and belly laughed, and Daisy's was the softest and most girlish. I hastily made myself something to eat, a thick sandwich and a tall glass of milk, and I sucked it all down at the small kitchen table. Once I was done, I placed my plate in the sink, dusted off my hands, sighed softly, and headed out the front door toward my laboratory. I had to make a few repairs on my machine, a few broken pieces here and there from the last experiment, but the damage wasn't as bad as it had been before. I needed to replace two panels, examine the electrical components, replace any of them that had blown, replace the panel, and lock it up tight. I needed to sanitize not only the examination table from last night, but Compartment C needed to be cleaned too. Delphine had rotted in there, Hortensia's body had laid there overnight, and it wasn't exactly clean. "All right," I breathed, opened up the door to the laboratory, propped open the door, and then stepped inside. "Time to get started."
"So, you're back," A.B. drawled.
"How was your evening?" "Mine was fantastic, if you're asking. You may already know, but Daisy made paella last night, and it looked absolutely scrumptious. I'm sure you ate it later once you came up for air, 4 hours later with Ryan in tow."
"Yes, the paella was delicious," I nodded. "I've heard that it's a complicated recipe to master, but Daisy made it perfectly."
"So, no reaction to my light ribbon?" "Boo, Charles, boo!" "What are you doing down here? Don't you have a party to prepare for?"
No, not yet," I uttered. "The ladies have to get ready first because it takes them longer, so I'm going to make a few changes with my machine to pass the time. Around 6:30, I'll go upstairs, hitch the horses, wash up, get dressed, do something with my hair, maybe slick it back, and then we'll leave for the party."
"I almost wish that I could go. But alas, I am a mere brain, unsuitable for such high society."
"I'd gladly bring you along, but I doubt anyone would be happy with that. You know how Edeny reacted every time she saw you. Imagine that, but with an entire room full of aristocrats."
"You said this party is basically all costumes, right?" A.B. asked. "Well, you could dress up like a mad scientist, complete with wild hair, a few streaks of dirt here and there, maybe a ripped part of your shirt, and a brain in a jar. It'd be perfect."
"That does sound pretty funny, but a little too on the nose, don't you think? People already think that I'm either some type of insane scientist or an alchemist. I can't let them see me like that." "Not only that, but you know how the Duchess treated you. You'd be getting that from all sides. The catty remarks, the harsh looks, the whole lot."
"I would not like that. I'm too handsome and sensitive," the brain bobbed. "But the Duchess did call me an installment. That must mean I'm a work of art, right?"
"You're a work of something, all right. Maybe a work of art, I'm not sure, but you're definitely something." I chuckled softly, grabbed the new pieces of paneling, dragged them toward my machine, picked up my bag of tools, stepped toward the enormous metal contraption, and then got to work. I removed the first panel, peered inside with my handmade light, clicked my tongue at the burnt electrical components, and then grabbed the replacements from the side table. I hastily pulled the old ones out of their sockets, replaced them with the brand new ones, and then replaced the paneling. Once I was finished with that, I put back all of my tools, crossed the room, opened up one of the larger cabinets, grabbed a cleaning solution I'd concocted for the machine's metal exterior, and a few rags. I stepped forward, opened up the second compartment, glanced in, and then grimaced. The small, closed-off room had a dank smell inside, and I already knew exactly what it was. Death. So many men and a handful of women had died in this small place. and as I stepped in, I examined each of the walls. There were indents in the metal walls, where the patients had pounded at it feebly with their fists, and when I turned toward the open door, there were scorch marks from the first female patient. I sighed softly, gripped the rag in my hand, and sprayed all of the walls, ceiling, and floor with the cleaning solution. I wiped down the walls and then the ceiling, but when I glanced down at the floor, it had a bit of a greenish tint. Delphine's rotted face flashed back into my mind. My lips instinctively pressed into a firm line. I bent down and wiped away all of the traces of the horrible woman away. I grunted as I stood, held the dirty rag loosely in one hand and the bottle of cleaning solution in the other. I exited the compartment, glanced at the clock, nodded once, tossed the dirty rag into a wastebasket, replaced the bottle of cleanser in the cabinet, and then stepped toward the door. I hastily hitched the horses to the wagon, guided them out of the carriage house, and then tied them off in front of the manor. I hurried upstairs into the manor, climbed the stairs, past my bedroom where I could still hear my women's voices as they giggled happily together, and I smiled to myself and headed toward the master bedroom. My suit was hung up on one of the hooks on the wall, and I examined it for a second. It had been given to me by the Duchess when she wanted me to attend a ball, and I hadn't worn it since. I was sure that the last time I wore it, I had no idea that the next time I'd put it on, I'd be living in a house full of women who loved me. I quietly got dressed in the comfort of my master bath. When I finished, I had to admit, I did look quite handsome in the outfit that the Duchess had purchased for me long ago. White silky fabric frothed at my throat on top of the white pressed button-down shirt. Over the top of it, I wore a black overcoat with two long tails at the end and a single scarlet stripe down both of the arms. The coat cinched at my hips, and underneath it, my trousers were the same shade of black with the stripe of scarlet to match the jacket. Hundreds of years ago, I would have been an eligible bachelor. And now, to the public's eye, I was nothing but a lowly consort indebted to my mistress. I didn't really care that they thought that about me, but I was more than that. I had accomplished so much in my lifetime. I wanted to be seen for that, but I knew that wouldn't happen any time soon. I grunted, damped my fingers in the faucet, ran them through my messy black hair, and then leaned back. Huh, not too bad, I chuckled after I had finished getting ready. Oh, could be worse. I shook my head, grabbed the handle to the bathroom, waltzed out, and trundled down the stairs to the front door. I reached for the handle right as the bedroom door swung open, and Valerie's sweet voice called out to me.
Charles! Are you ready to see us?
I have your mask too, Charles. You'll have to put it on before we get there, though. I'm not sure you could drive in it.
I'm ready, I grinned, and waiting to see my beautiful women.